This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So Belen shared with us last week, or she actually ended one of the scripture pieces that we worked through in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, all these are empowered, speaking about the gifts, by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, I have heard that you guys had an awesome time getting to know each other and also the gifts last week. Did you guys enjoy that? Is everyone here? All the students, you are reading somewhere. You all are reading something? Did they hand out exam papers? I see all of the students are looking down. I won't be calling you up, don't worry. You're doing the typical thing where normally when you stand here in front and you say, okay guys, I'm going to ask a question and then I'm going to nominate a volunteer, then everyone's like, so I didn't ask the question yet. You don't have to look down yet. Awesome to know that God is the one who gives the gifts as he pleases. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we see that portion on verse 11 ends there. And as I was praying through that and praying through us as a church family, I just got two very specific words, and I want us to spend some time with that going on. 1 Corinthians 12, speaking about the body. It's interesting when the first thing that happens after Paul says, I've given to everyone, God has given to everyone as he wills, he starts to explain how this will work, what this will look like. And, you know, for us, it's often something that we miss because some parts of Scripture really excites us, and then we kind of get a bit lost on our own track, and then we kind of forget what it was for. And it's almost as if he just says, hey guys, wait, where's everyone going? We're not done yet. There's still things happening. So I want us to spend time in Scripture, and I'm so happy because I know that we love the Word. We love the Word. I know there was a very loud inside voice saying, we do. I needed just a bit outward one as well. So, Lord, we just thank you for your Word. Thank you that the Word's not separate from what you're busy with. You are speaking. You are speaking in our lives through your Spirit. You are also speaking through your Word. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that this is not letter. It's not dead. It is a Word that was inspired by you. And you will breathe life into not only the words this morning, Lord, but also into us. And I just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for every healing taking place this morning. As we just listen to your Word, and as we are just being washed by your Word in truth, we honor you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want us to read together. If you have your Bible here, you're more than welcome to open it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 26. So I'm going to read through it once, and then we're going to stand still a few places. Is that okay? So I think the special thing about this is I really felt the Holy Spirit say, I want to heal as you spend time in my Word. So don't be in a place where you're saying, yo, that resonated in me. I felt something move in my spirit when we read that. And then to wait and hope for the end that there would be a time. I want you to be in the moment, listen to the Word, and let it transform you. Because I feel God is doing something special in us while we read. While we spend time in his presence. You know, when I was preparing, it was so interesting. I don't know how that happened, but I'm going to share it like it was. I was busy praying and worshiping, and then I could hear in our kitchen, someone was walking there, but it was only Belen that was there, so at least there was someone there. It's always more scary if you hear someone walking in your house and you are the only one there. But this time, I knew Berlin was there, so I knew the footsteps was of someone. And then she sat down and I found myself praying softer. It's so interesting because she's my wife. But still, when I heard her, something in me kind of wanted to make what I was busy with, you know, private. And afterwards I was thinking, Lord, that I now feel I don't want to share the time that I have with you, or what was that? And God started speaking to me about that, because the second thing that happened was this: yesterday, while I was busy praying, one of the kids walked in, and the moment they walked in, I could hear tick 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 tick, and then I knew they saw I'm busy praying, and then I could hear the following. So I could hear them sneaking. And then I had to tell them, jy kan maar loop. You can walk. Not you can loop like in go out. Like in you can walk as in just, you can, you know, just go on. And I realized something, and it struck me when I spent time in this word, and I'm really trusting God that He would stir some confidence in us as the body. A confidence and a boldness in spending time with Him, irrelevant of where we are. Because it's a complete worldly worldview, to have your faith isolated. To have it closed off. To do it where no one can see you. To do it where no one can hear you. And I was confronted with that by my own family. Let's read. For just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 20 is twice there, so I read it twice. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And then the last verse, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Large piece of scripture, much to take in, but I want us to take a few moments and just go slowly, slide by slide. And I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. So on the first slide, for just as the body is one, I'm just going to stand still at a few words, and I'm just as I speak, just allow the Holy Spirit to just stir in your heart this morning. For just as the body is one, that word one does not mean one in the sense of one, the body is one, it means unity. So you can also say, for just as the body is in unity, which is further clarified and defined as the piece goes on. So the body is in unity, but and it makes sense that it's not uniformity, because that's addressed later. It's not it's not like everyone becomes the ear and therefore they are in unity. Everyone becomes the eye, therefore they are in unity. Unity is measured differently, let's see. And all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Christ, the head and the body. Verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. How are we one? By the Spirit. Now I know it sounds like I'm going slow and you feel I got that, but the moment we start thinking about how life happens, we measure togetherness by, are we agreeing on things? By, do you more or less do what I do? Do you more or less enjoy what I enjoy? Do you more or less perceive things the way I do? Never recognizing that you might be very different to me. And our, I don't want to say common denominator because that sounds a lot like maths. I want to say, by the Spirit, we are one. So how do we walk in oneness? By walking in the Spirit. Now that might be a lot different than the one next to you. But have you felt what it's like when someone walks next to you and they do something, and although it seems very surprising, it even seems a bit controversial, or it seems, you know, you kind of feel unsure, something of what they're saying and something of what they're doing kind of stirs your spirit and you just know this is God. I have no idea what you're busy with. I don't know what to do with it. But this is God. As the body, to be the body, we need to firmly believe that we are not the same by the way we see, and therefore one. We are being made one by His Spirit. You guys with me? He goes in verse 14 and he says, for the body, and what he means here is, he brings an analogy of this concept to the body, and then he goes on to explain. So now, he's taking something spiritual, and he's not saying, this is what it is. He's saying, like. Which means that there are parts of this that we will not probably understand on earth. Parts of this will be blurry for us. But the part of being in the Spirit, and therefore one, is very clear. Then he says, okay, let's go further, and we explain this more practically. Okay? So think of your body. If the foot should say, so now he's saying, okay guys, we now got this. So now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Let's just stop there. Okay. Can you see that foot and hand is being set together? Both represent active members. Things that's actually working. So have you seen, if we measure the wrong way by the previous verses, then we find two people serving together and they are constantly gauging and measuring each other. The foot saying to the hand, why are you doing that? And the hand saying to the foot, why are you doing that? Both serving, both active. They're fairly close to each other in terms of function. Both actually actively doing something, okay? But then he goes on to say, and then the ear, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less of the part of the body. The ear and the eye, in this sense, is meant as a contemplative. part of the body. So you get these active parts that's gauging and measuring against each other, the one doing more, the one doing less, and we are actually trying in competition to outdo one another from a negative point of view. And then on the other side, the contemplative part of that also happens, where the ear and the eye is also in a similar struggle. Okay? Listen to this. This is very important. In both cases, we see, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body. And the ears say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. Can you see both times in the first person, there's a specific part of the body that's from their own perspective looking at another part of the body, disqualifying themselves. So if you are a part of the body that you can identify, and when you look around the rest of the body, you cannot see someone else doing what you are doing, the enemy wants you to discredit and disqualify yourself. And he speaks directly into this. Even if you feel the Spirit stir in your heart, and you'd still feel, and you'd still hear, and you might be still doing something with your hand, but because you don't look like the person you are measuring yourself against, you might be ending up disqualifying and discrediting yourself. Note that this is not in this sense measured as someone saying, it was the foot and the hand together in a place. I was the foot and Johannes was the hand. And then the hand told the foot, you don't belong. Can you see that? It wasn't the third person that I saw that discredited and disqualified me. It was me who discredited myself. Have you ever used the words, I think I heard what God is saying, but I'm just going to wait a bit? Gauging and measuring on what? On what I see, perceive. So even if we would experience the stirring of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, if we do not firmly believe that I am made to be looking different than the other person, even if they serve in an active position, I might be different. But I know this is God speaking. And therefore, I will be the hand. Therefore, I will be the foot. I will be the ear. I will be the eye. Then he goes on to say in verse 17. Look, now in the previous verse, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. So there the eye was elevated in terms of value. Then in verse 17, he says, okay, so let's say then you define that the eye is the better part. Now imagine the body completely existing as an eye. What would that be? Yeah, can you imagine? So for a moment, think to yourself, if I look at someone gauging and measuring myself, and I define from my point of view, this person, this gift, this doing, this act, this contemplative thought, whatever is better than mine, imagine the whole of the body of Christ would look like that, with that work. Come on, guys, with that work. No. So we don't really put any reasoning into this. There's a disqualifying factor in this, and the enemy has a large part to play in this, but we align our hearts with that because we don't understand. If the whole body were an eye, what would the sense be of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, what would the sense be of smell? But as it is, listen to this, verse 18. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. How possible is it for you to receive that this morning? Can you let go of what you thought the hand or the foot or the ear or the mouth or whatever part of the body you saw gauging and measuring yourself again, and then just say, Lord, you are the one that's defining. You are the one that's defining. God arranged the members. He arranged you. He arranged you. He made you. Not only in your physical appearance, in your chemistry, in your genetics, He made the whole, the all, everything of you, and He placed you. We are going to pray into this, so just let the Holy Spirit stir for now. As He chose. And He goes on in verse 19 and He says, if all were a single member, where would the body be? Now listen to this. If it was just a lot of members laying all over the show, where's the body? Can you see that? Not a good sight. Looks like a war or an accident or something gone wrong. Just a lot of limbs lying everywhere. Where's the body? We see that all over, not only within the world, but also within churches. A lot of limbs lying everywhere, being everywhere, but not a body. Why? Because we miss the fact that the Spirit is the one who's unifying us, and God is the one who positions. As it is, there are many parts. The eye cannot say to the hand. Now look at what happens here. Now he takes it a step further and he says, okay, in the previous verses we said the active parts being against each other, or the one active part saying, because I'm not you, I don't fit. Now he's taking it a step further, and this we find really more odd, and I think it's so special how in Scripture we can see this, because here he takes the contemplative one, the eye, and he says the eye is now looking at the hand. So now you find this person that's good and appointed by God in one way, looking at someone that is the opposite of what they were intended of doing in the sense of practical living. And now they say, okay, well, I thought that one was far off. Now I completely don't make it. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, but now it becomes the first person. Now I could see my value. Now I could understand. Now that I see my value, what do I do with me seeing my value? I go to someone else and I elevate myself. Still no reference of the body. Still no reference of the fact that it's the Spirit that binds us together. One sense, disqualifying myself. Second sense, now elevating myself. I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. That sentence goes into the word indispensable, and he says, it's a part more susceptible to injury, and it needs greater care. Can an eye care for itself? What do you think would happen if someone throws something at you and you don't have the hand to fend it off? It's so interesting. The higher members cannot dispense with the lower members. Verse 23, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable. Notice the word we think. We think. So now you are no longer the eye that's saying, because I'm not the ear, I don't fit. You are now also no longer the eye who look at the feet and say, you don't fit. But now we start thinking and we start saying, okay, so then how does this thing now? And then we decide on an honor base, who do we honor and who not? And therefore, we get to a place where we say, okay, for me to excel in whatever I think I need to be reaching, even within Christian circles, within the church, I need to be around these people. Or I should not be around these people. Scary place to be in. We think less honorable, we bestow with greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which is more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Look at this, verse 25. that there may be no division in the body. He caused it that way. He made, formed, shaped the whole body, put the body in place so that we need each other to the extent that there would be unity. A unity that can only come through His Spirit. Not because we look the same, not because we act the same, but because we bring something different. That there may be no division in the body, but that members may have the same care for one another. And then the last verse, if any member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Have you also heard this verse quoted many times? But not the latter part though. Most people only quote the first part. If one member suffers, all suffer together. Have you heard that? It's half true. It's not a thing of if one member suffers, all suffer together, and now we are suffering to the end and we hope we make it, and that's not the point. The point is not how do we suffer until we become better and then eventually we end up being a body. No. The whole portion of Scripture is meant to say honor. Honor each other's gift. Don't look at the hand thinking, why are you not an eye? Don't look at the foot thinking, why can you not hear? Honor. Honor and speak into each other's lives the value that is within your spirit and within their spirit. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Can you see how many times, I mean, if we quickly think, how many times in Scripture God makes a thing of one sheep. If one would turn to God, the whole heavenly hosts would celebrate. One. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Why? Because something could happen that would not have happened if we did not have that one. And I'm asking you, do you fully accept and understand that you are that one? Can you receive this morning that you are that one? I've used this in the past already, but I've heard a testimony of these guys that go into these extreme persecuted churches, and then you find this one guy that comes in the middle of a worship session, and he says, I just heard from God that if we do not get out of this building, we are all going to die. And then they'd gather everyone, and they'd run out of the building, and there would be a bombing there. The one. Honor the one. If we as a church family get lost, and you were the one, and you stay silent, where will we be? Where will we be? One of the early church fathers said it like this, that part that says, all that suffer with it, on the next slide. When a thorn enters the heel, the whole body feels it and is concerned. The back bends, the belly and the thighs contract themselves, the hands come forward and draw out the thorn, the head stoops, and the eyes regard the affected member with intense gaze. How beautiful is that? The whole body affected. One part hurt. The whole body affected. But a similar thing happens when we say rejoice with the one. When the head is crowned, the whole man feels honored. The mouth expresses and the eyes look. And there's gladness. How amazing is that? I'm not going to read everything in the next portion of Scripture. I just want to explain something. In 1 Corinthians 3, earlier in the Scripture, you guys can go read the whole portion. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 to 15, it says that building on the foundation, which is Jesus, every single one of us will be busy building. As we bring our gifts, we will be building. This building that's referred to here is not the building that represents the living stones. This building that's represented here is being referred to as what we teach doctrinally and what we live practically. Everything we teach and everything we do will be measured by fire. It will be tested by fire. It's interesting, the word fire, and then we end, then we're going to pray. The word fire, I'm quickly going to go into that. God's, in the Old Testament, refers to God's presence, to God's appearance, to God's judgment, to refine, to purify, and to sacrifice. In the New Testament, the fire of the Holy Spirit is being referred to as the fire that invigorates, the fire that refines, the fire that converts, the fire that consumes, the fire that melts, and the fire that molds to look like Jesus. Interesting to note how many charismatic today pray for fire and then expecting a sign or a wonder that's not this. We need to say this. When we pray to the Holy Spirit, we expect the Holy Spirit to move. We don't decide in advance how the Holy Spirit's manifestation should look, and then we own it up to ourselves and say, Lord, when you manifest, please come in fire. And then by fire, we mean random things happening, shouting. I'm not saying random things doesn't happen from time to time. I'm saying we are anticipating that when the fire of the Holy Spirit comes, it should look and think and feel in a way that's entertaining sensually for us. Nowhere in Scripture, that's the truth. Nowhere. You don't find that in Scripture. In Scripture, when the fire is mentioned, it's purifying and it's molding. And I want to ask us this morning, when last did you experience the fire of the Holy Spirit purifying you? I've heard one of my friends, and then we're going to pray. He said, When you have quiet time and you spend time in prayer, when last, listen to the question, did the God that you serve differ from you? And the question is extremely relevant because if you spend time with God and He always agrees with you, be careful. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is not guiding us, leading us, stirring within us something beautiful. What I am saying is be careful that when you serve a God that always just saying, Henny, you're doing well, man. Just you keep going. Yeah, you kind of missed it there. You could have done better. Just, you know, just next time. Be careful. The Holy Spirit comes in the form of fire to purify, to mold, to do what? To let us look like Jesus. So I want to ask us a few questions, and then we really need to spend time in this, and we're going to pray. We're going to trust the Holy Spirit together this morning, and we're going to trust Him to set us free from striving. Why? Because if we define what part of the body we are, and what do we do in the light of those around us, we start striving. In today's modern terms, the eye would be looking at the foot, doing their whole best to be more active. Can you imagine your eyes twitching the whole time and you wanting to drive somewhere? Not going to work. Can you imagine the hand, the best of their ability, trying to see? Doesn't work. Can't see like your eye. First question I want us to ask ourselves, am I a member of this body? Am I sure that I am a member of this body? The second question I want us to ask is, do I embrace the part I am in confidence? Why confidence? Have you guys felt sometimes when God says something to you, it's kind of challenging sometimes to speak out? It's kind of hard sometimes when God says, stand up, go to the guy who's preaching and tell him, This is a word from God, or this is a prophetic thing, or an act, or a song, or whatever. Being obedient to God, stepping out, sometimes is hard. So what do I need to do? I need to know I am a member of this body. My identity needs to be firmly planted in Him. Secondly, I embrace the part that I am. Lord, I am the I. I embrace that and I live from that place. Am I building on Jesus as the foundation? There is no other foundation. That building that's being spoken of in 1 Corinthians 3 says that that building will be burned to the ground, but the foundation will stay. Be careful of what you build. But even if the whole building burns down, know that you are standing on the foundation, Jesus Christ. Do I embrace the fire of the Holy Spirit to purify me? Listen carefully, not to entertain you. The Holy Spirit is not trying to entertain us as the church, keeping us busy so that the sermons doesn't get boring, or the services doesn't get boring, or whatever exciting thing's supposed to be happening. The Holy Spirit is purifying us so we can look like Jesus, so we can resemble Him better, so we can love and serve each other better. I want us to stand together and just respond and just say, Lord, come show me. What I felt as I prayed is that God will be coming today and showing and stirring in your heart something of who you are in this. I'm not sure whether He's going to reveal to you yourself as an eye, for example, or an arm or a leg or whatever, but whatever God uses to reveal to you what part of this body you are, go with that. Pray into that. And as we're just standing like this, I want us to just acknowledge the fact that if I'm not part of this body, much of this is not going to make sense to me. We need to be on the foundation, Jesus Christ. If there's any uncertainty in your heart this morning and you say, I'm not sure. In my mind, all of this makes sense, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I have ever in my life chosen Jesus, not as the one that needs to conform to me, but to whom I conform. Well, Jesus, I conform to you. I follow you. If you just need to say that again this morning, just take a moment and just say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I might have often in my life even have asked you and invited you to conform to me. This morning anew, I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I conform to you. I want to follow you. Just in your own words, just for a while, just say, Lord, I'm following you. Again this morning, I'm following you, Jesus. Let's just lift our voices.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.